Welcome back to Suck, the week two, the rehearsal. And we're happy to be here.
The rehearsal. Oh my gosh.
One of the best episodes, I would say, of any of the seasons, right?
100%. I texted you this as soon as the credits started rolling, that hands down, this was my favorite episode so far of Succession, without a doubt.
Wait, so you meant like of like any season, any episode,
any
ever,
season,
this was your favorite?
Any episode. This was my favorite because we finally are seeing the payoff. Mm-hmm. We're finally seeing the Roy children get their due. We're seeing them stick it to their father. And we're finally seeing that even though they're getting what they've wanted, right? This like sweet, sweet revenge, they're not really getting what they needed, right? None of them are actually very happy to be in these positions. That last shot of each of them in their respective cars going home, and we could just start there. Just Kendall's smile. It's the same smile that he had all last season when he was kind of in this like manic state getting after his father, right? We see Shiv just looking so distraught because even though she was able to pull off this deal and kind of get Stewie and Sandy, you know, back on their side, they're all kind of working together against Logan, her divorce is going to be terrible. And it's all because of her father. And then we see Roman at the very end going back to talk to his dad. We see him switching sides. So it's this really interesting kind of dynamic where we finally are seeing them win, but deep down there's still these broken losers. And that's what we've really been waiting for.
Do you think that Logan knew like all along, which is why he kind of in a sense is letting them say, oh, okay, they think that they want this, but when they get it, they're going to regret it? Do we think that he like knows that?
Yeah, I think to an extent, right? He called them morons at the end of the first episode. Like, congrats, you guys said the biggest number. And then in this episode, we see him kind of searching for his old self in many ways, right? He's walking around the newsroom. He's pushing people around. He's telling Cousin Greg to fuck off, right? All these different things. But he still wants more. He's still not fulfilled. He really only gets going by getting into these scuffles with his kids. So I think he's at this point in this episode where he knows that his kids have kind of like a one up right now, but that's what's so exciting to watch. Like, he enjoys being the underdog, because in many ways he was the underdog his whole life leading up to his success of building Waystar and his empire. So it's really interesting to see him at this juncture of like saying sorry, you know. And I want to get into that. Like, do you think what was your initial reaction when he started apologizing in that karaoke room?
It was like one of those classical Logan moments where he's like, when he had that same, well, not the same, but a similar conversation with Marsha, I believe it was, where he's like, I can't, just like, I'm a man, you know, I can't do that. Like, I'm a powerful man. He had a similar conversation with Marshall. Yeah.
He couldn't apologize back then. And now
exactly.
He is.
Exactly. But I think it's because like these are his kids. And he's like, what is it that you want? That, you know, what is it that you want that's gonna finally like get you guys to see that I know what I'm doing and we would be stronger together if you guys just like did what I said. But it comes across like so like condescending, and at the same time he's apologizing, but then he's also patronizing them, and it's in such a Logan Roy way that it's like, yo, it's such good acting, it's such good writing.
Amazing.
You know, it's such good storytelling
in every way. In every way, it's my favorite thing about Succession is that it's just so many different elements of great television making coming together in this really harmonious. I don't know how
harmonious.
To, harmonious. There it is. In a really harmonious way, and the payoff is just so sweet. And I think that in terms of like the relationship with him and his kids coming to this breaking point in this last episode, I actually think you see it through Connor. He's kind of the connective tissue in this episode of seeing the relationship between Kendall, Roman, and Shiv and Logan really at this breaking point, because Connor has always been very upfront that he has a horrible relationship with his father. I think all the other siblings know they have a bad relationship with their father, but there's still a piece of them that's clinging to something or wants to fix it or wants to prove their father right. And I think they all still want that through the deal with Pierce and through kind of joining sides and with Stewie and Sandy and slowing down this Gojo deal to try to get more money. But Connor is always the one that comes out front and just says, yeah, like dad never loved me. And you see how he wears that, like that pain on his sleeve and how he shares it in this episode with him just trying to have like a normal night out before his wedding, right? Like in a normal bar. But you see the other siblings really struggle with that.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to not just like the business and what they're going through now. It just goes back to like, yo, those three have the same mom and they grew up, you know, what, like 10, what, there's a 10-year age difference. So in those 10 years, he was probably like at the height of like building a successful company where Connor was there, you know, watching him and going, you know, through the most important years of his life without Logan. You know what I mean? Because he's like the oldest one. He doesn't share the same mom. Like he doesn't share the same career path. He isn't similar to them in any way. So, and then that's what I wanted to bring up, like just getting into the episode. This one is centered kind of around, you know, two things. It's Connor's rehearsal dinner, which is called, you know, why it's called the rehearsal. And it's like, okay, right. my father, I don't have that fatherly love. I really kind of don't have the same, like, you know, the siblings love Connor, but not in a way that they bond and connect with each other. So I don't have that sibling love. And then now I'm realizing that Willa is literally, she doesn't love me either. She's just with me for my money. And he just doesn't have any of that. And it's like really, really like sad to realize, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's realizing that he really has no one, that he is alone, that there is, you know, no one really there for him. And then we see Shiv, Kendall, and Roman come together to try to support him. But we just see that it's not working. Like they can't say really anything to make him feel better. And so it kind of just blows up in the karaoke room where Connor's like, well, you know, you guys, you know, like my superpower is that I don't need love. And I think that was such a powerful thing to say. And a really interesting deep dive into the character of Connor, who's someone on the show that has kind of always been there just for comedic effect. And I love that Succession is able to kind of, you know, go down these kind of layers of itself as a show. But in terms of like the idea of a rehearsal, Kaya, like what do you think is the significance of that?
I think it is seeing that, well, at least seeing a little bit more into Connor's character is what I just said. Is like he doesn't have that familial love, and then he'll never have that romantic love. And it's like him realizing like he's older and he's like running for president and he's not even in the top 1%. It's just like the most insane thing to realize. But did you also notice that, like, for such a show that is so serious, so some of its biggest episodes surround birthdays, holidays, and like personal, you know, events like that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like last season was all about the wedding between, you know, their mom and her new husband, and how that kind of affects the family and the ownership that the kids get of the company. The season before. L to the OG, right? We'll never forget that.
But then also Kendall's like birthday, where we Kendall's really birthday, see that breakdown of too much birthday. And I think that that's my favorite Succession episode ever, followed by this one. But like that we really see that, the breakdown of Kendall, like he's just like a broken man. And I'm like, wow, I think that that's so important because we never really see them like, we never see Kendall with his kids. We never see Roman have like a romantic life. We just see them like all business. So they have these important events, these personal events, whether it's a wedding or a birthday or something like, or even Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever. And they put it around that. And I think that's like genius.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great kind of narrative thread to the show, in the sense that these are all very normal things that people do, right? They have birthday parties, there's weddings, there's other kind of celebrations and the like. And when the show does them, it's these huge extravagant events where the average person would be like, oh yeah, let's just party, let's just have a good time. But for these characters, they're so miserable that it's still like a business meeting for them.
You know what it does though? It also, I feel like it humanizes them. Like, because every time we have one of those big episodes, like this one, or even Kendall's birthday, something like tragic, like there's a tragic either argument or Logan does something like really messed up, or they do something really messed up. And it's like, okay, but they're also celebrating like Christmas or Thanksgiving. Like, I don't know, it humanizes them, in my opinion. It's just very weird, and it works. I don't know why it does, but it works for me. But the other big thing is that Logan, he goes into ATN,
yes,
which was so confusing, and I want to let you kind of like take that and kind of I break that down, because I know that probably like was hilarious and probably, you know, some of your favorite writing of the show.
100%. And again, it's like, why is this my favorite episode so far? There's so many incredible comedic moments, but I think more so there's so many comedic premises, right? So Logan, after this deal with Gojo, the idea is that he gets to keep the news network. He owns it. He operates it. And already in his old age, he's like, okay, well, we're going to reinvent this. This is going to be my like sole priority, which I actually was listening to another podcast that apparently one of the Murdoch, you know, siblings that is behind the Fox empire that this show is like loosely based off of would actually go into the studio and like look at people working on their computers, just like a fun little aside there. But yeah, this is his main priority now. Once this deal goes through, Waystar will be owned by Gojo, this giant tech company, but Logan will still keep the news network. And with that, he wants to reinvent it. And that's why he gives that rousing speech. That's why Carrie is having her moment in the sun. And we will definitely get into that shortly. But it's really... it really serves the purpose of Logan will never stop. Even when this giant deal is still in flux, he's already looking five steps ahead of how he can reinvent his network. And it's just really funny to see him kind of back in a more granular way of working. Right. He's he's talking
like with, literally in the mud, like
100%, like rousing everybody up. It's really great to see. And also just hilarious.
And also just like having like Greg have to call Tom and like kind of describe it. And then Tom, I don't even know why he did that. Like him running out of the car and running under the bridge.
Yeah, 100%.
Like going back. It's such a Tom thing, but it was just so hilarious of like, what would that be like having Logan in the office on the ground, boots to, on the ground of ATN, like every day?
Insane. And it definitely shows what, like, I would love to see a show that's just old Logan trying to reinvent a conservative news network. Like, that in itself is just
in
so
this
funny.
Climate. In
with cousin Greg running around, with Tom trying, you know, doing the intro for him. It's just such, every element of that was so funny and so well written. Oh my God. And then, I mean, Carrie, right? Who knew that his assistant was trying to become a major anchor? And I guess when I first saw that on the show, like her tape, which was hilarious, by the way, I was definitely taken aback a little bit. I don't know if you were. Like, I was like, oh, I didn't know that she... I didn't know that there was a bigger kind of aspiration and plot line there. And there was a moment of confusion, but then once you saw her like walking around a bit and they kept playing that clip, I was immediately bought in. I was like, this is amazing. I love that they took this, you know, earlier a minor character, and each episode they keep giving her a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And it escalates to this moment of the end of the episode when cousin Greg has to let her down easy and essentially tell her, hey, you know,
it's not happening.
You're not ready. It's not happening. She immediately is like, oh, hell no. Like, this is why I'm here. This is why I've been dealing with Logan Roy for the past several seasons. It's so that I can become a conservative news anchor, which is in of itself just the funniest thing that like someone would put up with all of this just to become, I don't know, like
it's
a prime time.
Like, it's Logan Roy. You're aiming for a spot on, I mean, that's pretty high, but I feel like when you are, you know, literally not the right-hand woman, because apparently she's actually hooking up with him, like, if you are in that position, you could go for, like, so much more. And it's like, no, she just wants to be, like, an anchor on a show. And I was reading an article that said that she actually, like, looked at certain conservative women's auditions and based her run around that like real life of like how it was. I thought that was so insane. But Carrie, man, like, I don't know, like you said, Carrie has just been a star, really. Like, she's been in shows more and more slowly since, what was that, last season or the season before, where she like kind of appeared and they were kind of all suspicious, like, who is this woman? Like,
right, well, even in the last episode of last season, right, there's the joke that Tom makes that Logan's getting his swimmers ready, and, you know, rumors were already circling since last season that she was in a relationship secretly with Logan, and now we've reached this point where she is, you know, stepping into the spotlight and Logan's telling Tom, be delicate, but let's give her a look. And I think that it, the whole situation really speaks to, in many ways, Logan's character, that he can snap his fingers and get somebody on the network, and how everybody enables him, right? Immediately, you know, when he asks, so Tom, in the very beginning of the episode, Tom, what did you think? Well, she's great. Yeah, she's great. And then Sid is like, yeah, 100%. You know, we should definitely put her on. But then he's later,
like, what are you thinking? He's like, no, what do you think? You go first. Because it's like, I know that if I say something, then you're just gonna kind of mimic that. And then later on, it's just like, yeah, no, she's terrible. She's mm-hmm. got to go. And then out of all people, it has to be Greg who kind of like delivers that news, which mm-hmm. is, you know, something that I wanted to touch on is that that's his first like major move as someone who works at, you know, the family business. Like he's a cousin. Totally. And it's like, is he going to become, is that going to turn him into a monster? Or?
Well, I think it's in many ways, and I think this is a great example of how Succession works at its best when certain characters are interacting to serve the character development of other characters. And you definitely mm-hmm. see that here where Greg is now tied very closely to Tom. Like he's taken the plunge, right? There's no going mm-hmm. back from the end of last season where Tom's like, you know, if you're going to do this with me, Greg, like you need to be all in, like just follow my orders and let's do it. And Greg agreed. So now he has to be the one that lets her know that she can't make it on TV, that Carrie can't make it on TV.
I love the part that the guy was like trying to say like, oh, I don't know if my, Is my laptop working? And it's literally
it's just the yeah. And then he's out. Logan's immediately really annoyed. But going back to the relationship with Greg and Tom, I think mm-hmm. in many ways that you see it kind of working up the chain of command where Tom has this very frank conversation with Logan, right, in the kitchen, in the office mm-hmm. kitchen after the whole pizza incident with Greg. Where there's a bit of SOG. But you see so Tom funny. Really starting to take on the role that he really wants as yeah. someone that's an executive that feeds into the top dog, Logan. And you see him having this interaction. And I feel like it was a little bit vague. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts too of that conversation where Logan is like, I don't want to be anywhere near this, but he doesn't actually give Tom any clear direction of put her on the network or else. Like, I think it was an interesting moment where Logan's like, no, no, it's up to you. Like you could follow exactly what I'm saying and just be my lapdog, or you can actually be a leader and you can actually have some teeth and make decisions. And Tom thought about it and then made a decision, which was pawning Greg to be the one that says no. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how this all unfolds. What did you think about that?
Yeah, no, I didn't even realize that. I think that I was actually confused and you just explained to me what happened. Because at first it was like, give her the position because, you know, it's, you know, I'll just kick her that because, you know, she's my assistant. She's taking care of me more than one way. And then now it's like, okay, it's we're back at, this is ATN. Like this is our bread and butter now. So what are you going to do? Are you going to make those decisions? Or are you going to actually like stand up and like be a man and do what's right and go against what I say? So you actually answered my question. And he is actually in that position of having his independent thinking, even though at the same time, he kind of is letting Logan kind of mold him into not a mini Logan, but someone who is in that lifestyle by, this is something that I wanted to mention, by, you know, having him scoop up all the good lawyers for the divorce. So he's kind of shaping Tom while Tom is also developing who he is as a shark, while, you know, now Greg is coming into more of a Tom role. And it brings me back to like, what was that last season where he was like, oh, if you do this, you can have your own Greg or you can have 100 Gregs. Right. So it's just like you said, it's like character development on character development.
That is really interesting. I didn't think about the show in that way of like, is Tom the person that Logan will have step into his shoes just because he's the one that's there listening to him and following him, right? And we see it at the end of the episode when Logan's telling his kids, all I wanted was for you guys just to like follow me. That's it. Just trust me and follow me. And you guys couldn't do that. Well, Tom is. So it would be interesting if that's where the show is heading.
That would be insane, though, wouldn't it, though?
If Tom took over.
Like, if Tom was the one to, like, be the head honcho after all of this, that would be insane. Like, I feel like maybe they're doing this just because, you know, they want us to have some plot before, like, the final, you know, the final thing happens or the final decision is made. But Tom, I don't think should be it. If anything, I guess Roman should now be it. And I was watching the little after show on HBO Max, which we used to say, like, you know, who is going to, you know, be the leader or who is going to be the new Logan or whatever. And it was always, we would always both say it's not Roman because he isn't, like, he isn't hard enough. But they were saying that it is Roman. They're saying that he might be the most like Logan because, you know, he's able to think with a clear mind. He's able to make hard decisions and he doesn't really have that much of a conscience. He just has really a conscience when it comes to anything concerning his, you know, family, whether it's Kendall and not signing that paper or not going all the way against the dad. So that's what I wanted to ask you is, like, do you think now with seeing what's been going on and you know, how Roman is actually, you know, in contact with Logan again, do you think that Roman is more like Logan than we originally thought?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was always the case that Roman had the most business acumen out of all the siblings. He has the best instincts, but didn't have the killer instinct that Logan was looking for. And it's interesting to see him come back to the table at the end of the episode to come back to his dad's side and you know, potentially open a door there, especially after at the bar, Kendall made him read out all the text messages of take care. It seems a little bit warm, Roman. Seems a bit warm, which I thought was really funny writing. But
it's hilarious.
I don't know. I don't know if does Roman have what it takes to be a killer that would make him the proper successor to Logan? What would that take? I think it would take him screwing over his siblings, which we're already in the process of seeing. And I think it would also take him screwing over Logan, which I think could happen if Logan brings him, which it looks like he is, to talk to Matheson. Or, yeah, the Gojo CEO.
Yeah, Matheson. Yeah, you're right.
So the question is, I think Roman's path to success of taking over all the company will and kind of falling into place, that last puzzle piece of him becoming a killer will need to be him screwing over his entire family, which is the one thing that's his one soft spot, right? That's his one weakness. Out of the whole show, he is the guy that can't completely cut off communication with his father. He can't screw over his siblings. He wants to work with them. He's someone that can't take really anything seriously. He's always joking. And I think it's because he's so afraid of conflict. He's so afraid of actually taking the ruthless step as a business tycoon and what that entails to be successful. He can't do it. So it'll be interesting to see, I think, over the next few episodes as the series comes to a close, how he kind of navigates this space and what he ends up doing.
I wonder, though, like, if we're looking at it wrong now, because Logan has been at the helm of this for so long. Like, ideally, Kendall would have been taken over for years now, but he has that, you know, drug problem, and then he has, you know, he has certain things that he can't get over. So are we looking at it as, like, who can be a killer, or like, do you even have to be a killer anymore? Because we're in such a new generation, and he's been, you know, taking over the business for so long and building that business for so long that it's like, maybe we just need someone who isn't really a killer, but just really just good business minded, knows how to appeal to both audiences and is able to kind of like schmooze with kind of anyone and doesn't have to be, you know, this like terrible person. I mean, he's going to be a terrible person regardless. Like, everyone who's rich is a terrible person. That rich is a terrible person. But like, maybe you don't really have to be a Logan Roy to run a Logan Roy's company.
Interesting. Maybe you're saying that the show ends with a new Waystar that's more positive, yeah, that has Roman at the helm, keeping, I guess, family first values. Because I don't know. I don't see.
I think that's too cheesy.
I think it is too cheesy. And this actually kind of leads to a big question that I wanted to ask and talk about that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask it the first episode, but you know, a couple of weeks before the premiere, it came out that this was the final season. And I wanted to ask you, does it feel that this show is coming in for a landing? Does it feel that this show is wrapping up?
No. And I was just about to bring that up, is that like, after this episode, it feels like it's just like really finally like getting started. Mm. Like, it feels like the pace has picked up so much. Things are progressing. Everything is just, I don't know, like coming up. It just feels like it's not ready to end yet. And I just want to know why they chose to end it 4 instead of at least go to 5. You know what I mean? Like, it just...
Yeah, it is interesting. I agree. I feel like the pace is definitely picking up. I think it makes the show even better. I kept thinking while watching the episode this week that Succession, the show has reached this kind of point where it's really just knocking joke after joke out of the park. It's really set up all the premises now where it can just be a story at the best of itself. Like, it's reached this point where Succession is like kind of shining at the top of itself as a show, if that makes sense. I know that's a little bit maybe like a confusing way to say it, but we're finally seeing the kids start to get one up on their dad. That's really big to see in this show. And it's really entertaining to watch. And it's really funny too, right? We're seeing Cousin Greg make strides within the organization. We're seeing Tom finally get the kind of seat at the table that he's always wanted.
And I understand if they want to, like they said, that they don't want to be like a Billions where they're like 8 mm-hmm. seasons in, and they specifically mentioned poor Billions. but
throwing shade.
That was so savage. But I just feel like I understand that they don't want to be a show that's going on like 7-8 seasons, but also I don't understand why you would leave us wanting for so much more. Everyone is like, oh, you should leave them wanting more, but it's like, yo, this is just starting to get really good. And it's not like a regular show where we have 10, 12, 16 episodes, what, 8, 9, mm-hmm. you know? So it's just, it's very weird. And I wonder, was there inner conflict? Was this like a sudden decision, or like, what's going on?
And I think I've said this before on the podcast, but I think a lot of the crew, the Jesse Armstrong, the creator, the writers, definitely the actors, they've gotten really famous from the show, and they're getting more work, and they're getting additional projects. And I think that great television ends on a high note. It ends with audiences wanting more. It doesn't, I don't think the best shows on TV drag out, you know, season after season until the audience kind of peters away. I think you want to leave people on a very high note. And that's why I do think that this season is coming in for a conclusion that will hopefully be really satisfying, in that we're finally starting to see the show take a new pace, be in a new stride. And it's really refreshing to see, and it's really exciting to see. And I think it's going to end on a high note in that way, where no matter what happens, it's going to be a twist. We're going to see these characters really transform in interesting ways. And hopefully we will get an answer to what does it take to succeed? Not succeed, but like be the next in line to take over a company.
Yeah.
Of the caliber of Logan Roy. Yeah.
So you have faith. You have faith, that with just four seasons, with the show this good, with the show that had a second episode so good that it's one of the best episodes of the show, period, that they can deliver a satisfying last season and a satisfying finale.
Yeah. I think that if the show ends, everyone's like, oh my gosh, I wish there was five more seasons. Like, it's crazy that it's over. I think Succession has done its job.
See, I was just saying, like, okay, yeah, you should leave them wanting more, but I don't think you should leave them hungry. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's just, I don't know. I'm going to need one more season, but you know what? I said so much stuff. We both said so many things last season, and then we changed our minds while watching it. So, you know what?
Well, what would you want to see? Right. What would you want to see that you think would need more than, how many episodes do we have last? Six for this season, for the whole series? There's six episodes left. I think this last season is eight episodes, eight or nine. So what do you think would need to happen, just character-wise, plot-wise, theme-wise, that would require this going into another season? Because I don't know. Yeah. I think it's starting to get somewhere and show
that
finale.
They can wrap it up.
Yeah.
And that's my problem. I don't know what I want. I think that I should. I think after episode three, I would know how I want this to end. Because we're too early. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, so this could happen, that could happen, this could happen. There's too many different ways that this can go, and we're about to bring in Alexander Skarsgård again. So that's why I'm like, okay, I don't know what I want yet. And that's another reason why I'm like, it shouldn't end this season yet.
Yeah.
So ask me again next episode and I'll have an answer for you.
I do find it really interesting that, and maybe this is where your head's at with all of this, Kaya. We're two episodes into the final season, and I think plot wise, there's really no direction what's going to happen. We're really on our toes here.
It can go anyway, Jay. It can go anyway.
And I'm still thinking, like, does Logan die?
Remember last week we were like, he has to die. Last season of this show, we were like, he has to die.
Well, yeah, last season of the Suck Pod, we were covering season three. Yeah, we were like, he needs to die for the show. Yeah. Remember when I thought that Logan needed to die, and then there needed to be like another season without Brian Cox, where it's just the kids fight?
You were legit, like, not only that, we were planning spinoffs without Logan, we were planning spinoffs with Logan, we were like just all over the place.
Oh, we were choosing violence.
Exactly, and we're still choosing violence, but you know.
Yeah. I will say, I do go, after watching last episode of him going around ATN and seeing him wanting to reinvent this news network, I definitely do not want to see this character go away anytime soon.
Exactly. Like,
I want it more speeches.
Hilarious. I want more speeches of him, like, just making that random thing to just step on with boxes.
The boxes. And then, that's another thing apparently that's real that happened at Fox News.
Really? That is so hilarious. And then him talking about like, yo, there's pizza here. Like, why are we ordering all this pizza? Yeah. Like, bro, you're a billionaire. You're
but it's also, I think that scene was just such a classic look of like, oh, you guys are doing a good job. Here's a pizza party. You know, the boss being like, why are we giving everybody pizza? But going back to Logan, like, he's just such an incredible character, and I think that ending Succession is having him in the ending of Succession is really important for the show, for all the characters that's based around. And I think maybe looking back at the entire series, it was almost misleading in season one to see him in that hospital, to see him, you know, unclear if he was going to be a character that dies in the first season, and then all the action is about the fallout of that. But yeah, at least for now.
I think also, like, at least once every season we have a moment where we think, yo, is he gonna die?
Yes, remember on the beach last season?
It was on the beach, and then also that moment where he, what was that called, when he had the UTI and we didn't know what was going on.
Oh,
and
my God.
He's this bad.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Well, Kea, I will say, no matter what happens, it's been an incredible series, an incredible season thus far. I actually think this season is already better than last one.
You literally episode two. It's been an incredible season. Episode two.
I know. And I hope that each episode just keeps getting better and better. As always, we will be here breaking down each episode. Thank you guys so much for listening, for subscribing. It's really great to be back podcasting about this show, even though it is the last season. So thank you guys for everything.
Thanks, guys. And we will talk to you next week.